Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We are talking Oakland A's baseball. We're joined by first baseman for the A's. He is a Gold Glove winner, seventh in the American League in home runs and slugging percentage. Leads American League first baseman in WAR, hitting .269, 35 home runs, 86 runs batted in. Oakland holding on to a two-game lead in the wild card chase, and they are hosting Texas this evening. Matt Olson is my guest. Matt, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, Matt. Great to have you. So you've won 8 of 9. You've won 13 of 16. Matt, you've got one-run wins against the Royals, including a 1-0 win in 11 on Wednesday. So bring me up to date. How would you describe the vibe in your clubhouse right now?
Yeah, it's a good vibe. You know, obviously we are in a spot that we wanted to be in at the beginning of the year where we have a chance at a postseason run. And, you know, while it's not the division, I feel like we're in a good spot for the wild card. And, yeah, everything's good.
Matt, yesterday I had Terry Francona on the show, and he said that as long as he's been around baseball, extra inning games in September are still kind of a kick in the ass. Like, there's still so much juice in that. How about you? What was that Wednesday game like for you, and how good did it feel to win that game that way?
Yeah, it's a big win, especially coming down in the stretch. You know, you get to September, and there's more arms to play longer games, so when you get into the extra innings, it's a little bit of a grind, and to be able to kind of mentally stay in it and for us to grind out a win is a big, especially when we got this race coming down.
Matt Olson joining us. Let me go back to Tuesday night, Matt, against the Royals for a moment. The team's bats have been a little bit quiet through the first six innings, and then you unloaded on a 2-1 pitch. Before we get to the details of the home run itself, what were you looking for on that pitch, and then how did it feel when it left your bat?
That one felt pretty good. He was working his heater well that night, had a lot of life on it, and that bat before he threw a sinker in and froze me for a strikeout. You know, I just wanted to be aware of that and got to a 2-1 count and, you know, wanted to get on his fastball. I'd been playing up all night and I didn't want to be beat by it.
That didn't happen because the ball left the bat at 110 miles per hour. It went over the first row of suites in the Coliseum in dead center, and you did it on a night in cool temperatures where the ball is not supposed to travel. I mean, you've hit some monster home runs in your career, including one in Philly a little while back. So where does this one rank?
It's either one or two. I'm not sure whether this one or the one in Philly was better. The Statcast said the one in Philly was further, but I don't know. I'm not so sure that that's right. So I will pick this last one over the one in Philly.
Good. I see it working. Matt Olson joining us. Now, earlier in the month, you said, quote, "I just feel like I'm becoming more aware of my swing. When something feels off, I feel like I'm addressing it sooner than I have in the past and kind of getting back on track." Can you lay that out for me? What does it feel like to become more aware of your swing? I mean, I don't want to get too, like, esoteric about it, but what's it feel like to become more aware of it, and how important is it just to have that awareness?
Yeah, I think it's really important. You know, I've never been too high of an average guy, but I could also argue that I've never had the same approach that I have at the plate right now. You know, I think it's just something that comes along with the at-bats, comes along with the experience. You're starting to face, you know, more guys in the big leagues that you faced before. You get more of a book on them. You know, it's just a big combination of things. I feel like I've gotten to the point that I'm at now. And, you know, really, I changed my swing to a new one in 2017, and 2017 went well for me the whole year. And last year was kind of a grind, so from those two things, I've kind of picked and choose certain things and know what clicks for me now.
A's first baseman Matt Olson joining us. So you lead the American League first baseman in home runs, but I say that because you do it despite missing 30 games in March and April due to a broken bone. How were you able to get up to speed so quickly after an injury of that magnitude?
You know, I'm really not sure. I had heard, obviously, that the hamate bone, you know, there's a big thing around baseball that it affects power. But honestly, once I started the rehab process and once I fully got back to swinging, I didn't really feel that the ball was coming off my bat any different. I don't know if it's a thing where I like being loose with my hands at the plate or whatever it may be, or me taking it slow through the rehab process. But through that, I feel like we handled it the right way, and I was able to kind of hit the ground running as far as that sense.
Matt Olson joining us. Listen, the word culture, Matt, gets used quite a bit in sports. In fact, I can't do an interview without it coming up one way or another. But there's a quote from your teammate, Chris Bassett, and he said, quote, "Matt Chapman and Matt Olson came and changed the culture around here." You can easily go back and say, hey, when did this all change? All these young guys changed the culture here, end quote. Look, I'm not sure I've ever heard a higher praise for a younger player than that. What's it mean to you then, Matt, to hear that? And did you consciously go about changing the culture or trying to change it?
Yeah, it's definitely an honor to hear that from a teammate. But no, I think it's just, you know, it's all that Chapman and I have kind of known in a way. You know, before we came up, you know, the way that the team was structured was kind of a little more of guys coming in on rental deals and, you know, the A's kind of piecing together a team, trying to make the money work. And, you know, I think from that shift to the younger core kind of coming up and almost feeling like a little bit of a breath of fresh air, you know, we were able to kind of hit the ground running with that and, you know, in a way try to change that culture into a winning culture. And, you know, we've had a couple of good years here and want to keep it going for a while.
So when I think about you guys and part of the dynamic that you and Chapman bring to it is your partners when it comes to playing cards. Legend has it the two of you are the best partnership in that clubhouse, even better maybe than Marcus Semien and Chad Pinder. Is it true? Can anybody hang with you guys at the card table?
Oh, I love that. It's we're up there in our own minds. We definitely have the most fun with it, I think. Semien and Fires have beat us a couple flights here lately, but we're trying to turn it around.
So how did you get into it? Were you always into cards, and what do you guys play?
We play Pluck, which is pretty much spades where you can pick your own trump suit. And, yeah, I've always kind of been a cards guy. You learn to be a cards guy in the minor leagues when you're bussing around all over the middle of nowhere and, you know, just sitting through rain delays, whatever it may be. So it's kind of stuck. It makes the flights go a little quicker and get to chirp some guys during it.
Okay, so how much chirping is going on during those games?
Oh, there's a lot of chirping. There's a lot of stuff that couldn't be said on here, but, you know, it's all in good fun, and we're just trying to find a way to kill some time.
Well, I don't want to get greedy. Maybe you do the podcast, and then you can say whatever you want. Now, Chapman said you guys don't cheat, and he says you guys don't cheat because you won't cheat. Does that mean that he will cheat and that you guys would cheat if you were willing to cheat?
I don't think he would either. I think he wants to beat people straight up, which is kind of where I'm at. But I don't want to get into that. We're trying to figure out if other people are cheating on us to bring us down. But for us, we're gonna ride it out and just try to beat them fair and square.
I mean, I respect your honesty and I respect your integrity, but you know, baseball, like if you're not cheating, you're not trying. It's only cheating if you get caught. Or even in baseball, like there are certain ways to cheat. Just don't rub it in anybody's face. Are cards like that? I mean, is it like sign stealing? You can do it, but a certain way. Can you cheat in cards a certain way, or can you just not cheat? You can tell I like this topic.
Yeah, no, I don't know. We're trying to pick up on some verbal cues from people, see if there's, you know, similarities and Marcus Semien trying to tell Fires what suit to call. But we're cracking down on it. I'll let you know if we find any hard evidence.
Good. Thanks for doing that. And then one final thought, Matt. You know, guys, like some guys can pick signs. Like some guys just have a knack, right? You can sit in the bench or in the dugout, and some guys are really good at it and can decipher the code really quickly. Is it the same way with cards and tells and things like that? Do you just have to have a knack for it?
Yeah, for sure. It is kind of crazy, the similarities between stuff like that. But yeah, I guess, you know, all our days of looking for little things that pitchers do and whatever it may be on the baseball field is paying off on the card table. So you guys will do some certain things where you know what they're about to do.
I figured. I knew it. It makes perfect sense to me. He is a Gold Glove winner. He is seventh in the American League in home runs and slugging percentage. And the A's are right where they always are, seemingly in September. They've got a two-game lead in the wild card. Texas at Oakland tonight. Matt, really appreciate you. Thanks for coming back. Always good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
That was fun, Matt. Thank you. Matt Olson. Love his approach. And I want to reiterate that when you've got guys in the clubhouse, vets, management, the organization saying the culture of this thing changed. Like, there was a cultural shift, and it changed, because of the young guys who came up. That is extremely high praise.